inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is
'tis the season for cherry and berry picking, and with us on the line for this week's edition of Garden Talk is Master Gardener Ed Byerski. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Matt.
Well, salmon berries are pretty much done. The season's over with for that, right?
Pretty much there, unless you get up to higher elevations where there are some. You know, that's so you can kind of follow the berries up the mountain, too, if need be, and right into, depending on how high do you want to go.
Well, what are some of the other berries that are just getting into season right now or should be ripe for picking?
Yeah, well, certainly the blueberries have been ripe now for a bit, and huckleberries, the red huckleberries particularly, I've got friends who go crazy over those, and even the, I know folks are out picking nagoon berries and other wild stuff. But we're also looking at the domestic berries. We've been eating strawberries from our hanging baskets for a bit, but the raspberries are just starting. We picked the first quart last night from our patch, and cherries, too, are ripening. So we need to be regularly picking those every 2 or 3 days as they ripen. So to try to beat the weather and beat the birds and all the competitors to them.
Well, I understand the competition with the birds, but what about the weather? What kind of impacts could we have from weather if we don't pick them fast enough?
Oh, the moisture in the air. Raspberries are particularly susceptible to mold. So if we don't pick them quickly enough, they will get moldy and rot. And there's nothing to do with moldy berries. Cherries, too, are very susceptible. So a dry spell is terrific. They can ripen. You can pick them. But if we get a sudden, especially if we get a sudden downpour, and commercially, this is a major worry because they can crack. And when that happens, then, again, the fungus that's in the air all around us will get in and the berries will, the cherries will rot. So, yeah, watching the weather, picking them, and, of course, you got to pit the cherries before, or I suppose it's a good opportunity to teach youngsters on the hazards and or joys of pits and what you can do with them.
Yeah, how do you do that, or is there a special tool for that?
Oh, there are, and there's local. Some of the local retailers here have cherry pitters. Some of them are just. It's kind of a slow process. I mean, if you get a gallon of cherries, it takes you may take you a half hour or to an hour to pick them. There are some crank cherry pitters that are messy but effective. And it's really, of course, if you've got tender teeth and all of that, you really hate to bite down into this wonderful piece of cherry pie and bite into a pit. And then those crowns get really expensive. So got to get the pits out.
So what's your favorite method of preserving them? Jamming, freezing?
All of that. And it's easy. You know, that's the nice thing with berries and fruits, that we can just pack them in Ziploc bags. Or one thing that works really well, particularly if you only want to use a few at a time, say you're making smoothies or something like that, is take a cookie sheet, line it with some saran wrap, and lay the cherries or berries on that and put them in the freezer. And then you can, once they're frozen, put them into, transfer them from there into a jar. So that way they're still kind of loose, and you can shake out or dump out the amount that you want, in the morning for a smoothie or something like that, or with yogurt or other stuff. That's really easy. And, of course, if you're just too busy this time of year, as many of us are, freezing the berries now, and then you can thaw them out later in the fall or winter when you've got more time and make jam and jelly or juice. All of these make great juice, too.
And when it comes to blueberries, how do you tell that they're ripe? Is there something that kind of tips you off as far as they're perfect to be?
Oh, certainly. I mean, the deepness of the color, certainly. And, of course, I mean, tasting them, really. Tasting these things certainly makes a difference. So, looking at the berries, they keep getting bigger and bigger if we get moisture, but it's been really dry. So at least to me, it appears the berries aren't as large as they have been in the past, the blueberries at least. But really it's taste, I think. is the best thing. Taste and see, and certainly depending where your favorite patch happens to be. You know, if they're in more sun, they are likely to be more tasty and sweeter than if they're in a shadier locations, and they'll tend to ripen more quickly. You know, south slope versus a north slope if you're heading up the mountain.
And also a reminder, I guess, not to forget about, you know, maintaining some of these bushes here, maybe adding a little fertilizer, clearing out some weeds.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we often talk about taking care of our own raspberry patches, because that's normally domestic stuff. But even with wild blueberries and wild huckleberries, that we can, if they're on their own property or if we have permission to do it, that we can go out there and prune away some of the competing vegetation, whether that be the rusty manzisii or little spruces and hemlocks and other stuff, so that they can grow better, have less competition, and allow more sun into them. And they can even tolerate a very light dose of fertilizer. And for blueberries, we would use the same stuff that we use for rhododendrons and azaleas, an acid-loving plant fertilizer that we might buy, again, at the local retailers.
Okay. Ed Byarsky, thanks a lot.
Okay. You're welcome, Matt. Get out there and pick some berries.
Ed Byarsky, Master Gardener, is a regular commentator here on Morning Edition every Thursday morning during the spring, summer, and early fall. It's 8 minutes before 8 o'clock.